The following audio is a Sunday sermon from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Para Vista, South Australia. For more information about the church, please go to paravista.org.au.
Good morning, friends. The joy of Jesus be with you. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, let there be an open heaven over us today, that you would get into our hearts, that you give us a further revelation of how wonderful and amazing Jesus is, and that you would keep shaping our character to reflect him in our lives with the people we rub shoulders with day by day. Amen. Today's theme is announcing the King. We're going to look at three different announcers of the King, and we're also going to look a bit at Jesus' baptism. Well, let's start with a carol we sang a couple of weeks ago, Hark the Herald, Angels Sing. For 1 or 2 minutes, I'd like children, you young people, to talk with your parents and then you to talk to each other. What is a herald and what does a herald do? Have a bit of a chat about that. Over to you. Okay, have we got some ideas in this camp over here about what's a herald and what does a herald do? Ruby, you want to share with us? What does a herald do?
Announce things.
He what? Does what?
Announce things.
He
Announces things.
Exactly right. Any other ideas about a herald? You got something to share?
Maybe a king?
Maybe a king. Okay. A herald might be someone the king sends ahead of him if he's got some important news to share. Any other ideas about a herald and what a herald might do? All right. What about these guys in here? You got any ideas? Anything else to add to that? A herald will declare the truth, whether it's good or bad. Does a herald speak on their own behalf? They speak on behalf of someone in higher authority, often a king. Fantastic. We'll get the next slide up. We've got a couple of examples of a herald. In the ancient world, a herald would be, if a king was going to visit somewhere, a herald would go forward to announce the visit. And it's interesting even today, we might go to the slide of, have we got the Harry and Meghan slide? When the royal family or the Queen goes to visit somewhere, there's always a lot of preparation, yes? And if, hands up if you've been to see any of the royal family, hands up. There's a fair few in first service. Okay, so when you went to see the Queen, what sort of things did you notice happening there in terms of what had been prepared? Lots of barriers. You can't have free access to the royals. They might come to you, but you can't approach them unless you have an invitation. What other things? The streets are all clean. All the shrubs are all manicured perfectly. And they might roll out the red carpet. Anything else? Flags or banners, like, Harry, marry me. Or something. I don't think he's that cute, actually. So a whole heap of things, a whole heap of preparation comes, and it's really interesting. I think when Queen Elizabeth first came to Australia, I think it was 1954, 55, 53, I don't know. But I think Australia had about 10 million people, and 3.5 million went to see the Queen. People turn up in thousands to get a glimpse, but also to show their honour and respect for a person in authority. Let me ask you a question. What would be a fitting mark of honour and respect for the King of Heaven? To bow down would be appropriate, I think. In the Bible, it's interesting, when the King of Heaven comes on the last day, there's always two ways that works out for people. For those who receive God's love and walk in His light, there is salvation. For those who reject God to do their own thing, they will get what they choose. They will choose to spend an eternity without Him. They will encounter God's holy wrath. John the Baptist is God's herald or messenger sent to announce the King is coming. The King is coming. Get yourselves ready. It says he went into the country around the Jordan preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Like, I reckon it's a really good idea to be ready when the King of Heaven turns up. What do you think? It's not just mending the roads, but mending our lives. It's not just about cleaning up on the outside, but getting rid of the gunk on the inside. Yes? Because the King of Heaven knows everything that's in our hearts. It's really interesting that John the Baptist addresses the crowd of Jews there. Did you get what he called them? A brood of what? A brood of vipers. I think he's actually saying, you children of Satan. Well, that'd go down well, wouldn't it? I think a lot of the Jews were offended because they regarded themselves as children of who? Abraham. Children of Abraham. They thought, oh, well, it's okay. When God comes in judgment at the end, we're going to get a gold pass to heaven because we are descendants of Abraham. Well, friends, I'm sorry, but no amount of association or religious pedigree or religious practice is going to give you an instant gold ticket to heaven. Every single human being needs to respond personally to God and his son, Jesus. Friends, when we stand before the King of Heaven, none of us is going to be able to fake it. And the King himself says he cannot handle religious hypocrisy where we give God lip service but lack fruit in our lives that back that up. Jesus himself says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. John tells the crowd, you need to repent. You need to bring your heart and your mind and your life orientation towards God, not away from him. And when the King of Heaven turns up, what's he looking for in his people, in his children? Fruit. The fruit of repentance, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I think it's the same thing. Why fruit? Well, fruit illustrates the reality of the faith, doesn't it? Fruit illustrates the person who's living inside us, whether it's us or the evil one or Jesus, yes? When God is at work and we're in a right relationship with God, when that wall's been torn away and we're doing life with God, God will work changes, and that needs to come out in fruit. Our attitudes, our words and actions. So people ask John, well, what should we do then? And John gave some examples of this fruit bearing. Oh, look, if you've got two shirts and more than enough food, share with the people who don't have any of that. Tax collectors, what are we supposed to do? Well, don't collect more than you're supposed to. Do your everyday work with honesty and with integrity. Soldiers, what should we do? Oh, that's easy. Treat people fairly. Don't extort people. Don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. You see, fruit is love and action. Love and action towards the people we rub shoulders with each day. Jesus wants his people, God's children, to demonstrate the character of their Father. Be merciful, says Jesus, for your heavenly Father is merciful. John calls people to get ready to meet their Messiah. And some wondered if John himself might actually be the Messiah. What did John say to that? It ain't me, babe. No, 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 it ain't me. It's not me. I'm not the Messiah. I'm just the announcer. I'm just the preparation to get you guys ready for when he comes. When he comes, look, he's going to turn everything upside down. I'm not even worthy to undo his shoelaces. I am just a servant. But the one coming, he is the king that you will have to give account to with your lives. Well, it's interesting, as lots of people are submitting to baptism and repenting, it says that Jesus also came to John to be baptized. Have you ever wondered the question, why on earth did Jesus need to be baptized? Have you ever wondered that? I mean, if Jesus is sinless, what sin did he need to repent of? What's this all about? In Matthew's gospel, we read that John actually resisted and said, "Oh, you should be baptizing me. Why do you want me to baptize you?" And Jesus says, "Hey, for now, let's do this. It's proper for us to fulfill all righteousness." That's all a bit weird. How do we understand that? God is perfectly righteous, yes? Holy. God cannot ignore pride, human rebellion, or evil. He must deal with it, yes? God must deal with that. So it's interesting that when Jesus comes, he's the one who's actually going to save us from the consequence of our sin. And the way he begins his ministry is to submit to baptism, and in that he expresses or shows solidarity, not just with our humanity, but with sinners. He identifies with us in our broken condition. And that's how he commences his ministry. I am really comforted in that. I don't know what you think, but I think it's amazing. I think that's what Jesus' baptism is about. And at the baptism, something amazing also happens. God the Father declares Jesus publicly as his son. "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." You've got to understand that Israel hadn't had a king for 600 years. Heaven had been silent for 400 years. And here at Jesus' baptism, all of a sudden heaven tears open, the Spirit comes down, and God publicly endorses Jesus as his son, as his royal representative, as Israel's promised king. For the words, "You are my son," are from a coronation psalm in Psalm 2, where a new king is appointed and heralded as king of Israel. When the Father publicly announces his son as Messiah, we are summoned to look at him closely, at what he does, and to listen to everything he says, because all of God's plans for his world are tied up in his son, Jesus. The second part, the words, "whom I love, with you I am well pleased," are from one of the servant songs in Isaiah chapter 42. Jesus comes into the world as a servant. I love the fact that when I read the Gospels, Jesus never ever uses his authority for his own benefit. Jesus always exercises his authority to serve and bless and forgive and help and heal others. And his ministry of servanthood reaches its peak in another, or what's described in another servant song in Isaiah 53, which shows the depth of his love for broken people like you and me. You'll be familiar with these words from Isaiah 53. We usually have them on Good Friday. "He was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all." Jesus took our blame and suffered the punishment, the fire of God's judgment, so we can be forgiven, healed, clean, made right with God, and belong to him forever. Is that good news? Is it secret news? Did these things happen in a public place? Is it good news just for you and me? Who is it good news for? Everyone. And so I submit to you, friends, that we too are announcers of His Majesty. Jesus anoints us with His Holy Spirit and says, I want you to be my witnesses. I want you to tell others about what I've done for them, and I want you to live in a way that shows people what it looks like to have me as their king. We are heralds of good news. The good news of Jesus. You could sum it up in a few sentences when you're telling someone, hey, do you know God loves you and has a plan for your life? A good plan. And that plan centres in Jesus, His Son. God wants you to experience and live in His forgiveness and do life together with Him. God wants you to be safe in His care now and forever. Good news. We have good news to share, and it's not secret news, it's public. It's for everyone. What's our mission here at Good Shepherd? Reaching into the community with the so that all will know Jesus and worship Him. How do people get to know Jesus? Through people who already know Jesus. It's not just declaring the good news of Jesus, it's actually being good news in their lives like Jesus is to us, to everyone. It's listening to people, taking an interest in people, looking for ways we can serve, help or bless them, sharing with people in need. It's praying for people and looking and asking God to give you opportunities to point them to Jesus. I want to sum up today with a couple of verses from Peter. He reminds us, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Friends, we get to be partners with God's mission, His restoration plan, by helping people get to know His Son, Jesus, so they're ready, like us, to meet Him face to face, and they too will inherit salvation. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, there are a heap of people who don't yet know You and Your love for them in Jesus. And You've called us to be Your witnesses, Your ambassadors, Your agents, Your heralds into their lives. Lord, we're just going to pause for a minute just to recall a few people that are on our hearts, that You put in our hearts. And we pray, Lord, that You would, just for Your Holy Spirit to go to work on them. And Holy Spirit, we also pray that You would go to work in us and through us, that we wouldn't be going through religious motions, but we would bear the fruit of Your character, Jesus, fruit that is fit for a king. In His name we pray. Amen.